Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. This week we've got some very exciting guests. We have, from Victorious Festival, Tiff and Shola.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, welcome, you're very welcome. You guys, you both work for the production team at Victorious?
Yep, so we're operations.
Yeah.
So ops for Victorious Festival. So I am head of operations. So I book all the infrastructure and run all things logistically on site. And Shirley works with me on this team.
So I do traffic management and help with accommodation and overlook our campsite kind of planning a little bit as well.
Great, cool. How's it all going this year so far?
Yeah, it's going really well this year. Weather's cracking at the moment, so everyone's happy in the office because things are looking good. We've been working on some few changes due to some site stuff, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But other than that, everyone's really looking forward to the next couple of weeks.
Good. I guess it gets easier each year a little bit. It's been going a while now, hasn't it?
Yes, a little bit easier, but there's always
new things that arise
and challenges every year, but that keeps you on your toes, so that's good.
Good.
But yeah, we're in our fifth, hold on, double check the years on that. I want to say
2013 was the first.
2013, I think it is. I'll have it here.
Go for our archive.
Yeah, I'm going for the archives. Won't open. Yeah, I think it's 2014 was first year on the Common.
The Common, yeah. So it started from Jubilee celebrations in 2012, didn't it?
So I think, yeah, it was a knock-on from that, and then, so it was in the dockyard, and it was 15,000 people a day.
Wow.
And I think it was £15 a ticket. And then, obviously, we outgrew the dockyard very quickly. I think we were only there for a year, officially, and then it was on to Castle Stage and the bandstand and a little bit of the skate park field, if that's what you call it. So we were there until 2015, 2016. And then we moved on to the whole Common, I believe.
Of course, you forget that the Common stage wasn't there at the very beginning.
It wasn't the initial.
Was it?
No, and then obviously it was just the 2 days, just Saturday and Sunday to begin with. And then it was Friday night. Friday night, half the site.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, the full site.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it definitely went in steps. It wasn't just bam.
So just as it's getting easier, you add a new
exactly.
A new phase.
You go, right, what else can we do this year to make it more difficult to plan or to make, to keep you in a job, give me something to do. And then it was 3 full days. So.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think it was turning 3 full days just as I started freelancing about 5 years ago.
So then much bigger. And then obviously last year we then made the site bigger, so we got rid of the car park.
Yeah.
So we've moved out of the city for like a number of reasons. Take all the cars out of the city and free up the roads, and also, all the emissions, but also to make the Common Arena just a bit of a nicer space for everybody. Just felt like it would be we have a lot of families and people like to bring picnic blankets and sit down, so we just thought it was a bit nicer to give everyone a bit more space in that arena, so you can watch it standing back. You don't have to be like in the thick of the crowd.
Yeah.
You can stand back, watch the screens, have a bit of space and enjoy it and still not be right at the front.
Not be in the mosh pit.
exactly that.
Yeah, I remember walking through there last year and thinking, oh, this is
bigger.
Is different.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite put my finger on what it was. But
just push the stage back. I think it was a good maybe 100 metres or so. But we're a bit worried that it was going to be a bit too far away for people to walk from one stage to another, but it was really well received.
It was good.
Yeah, it felt like a lot easier to walk around. The flow of the site was better. So, we're learning every year as well, so that's another thing. Like, once you learn something new, you're like, right, how do we implement that? What works? What were the good things that we had back from the public?
Yeah.
What did everyone enjoy? What did they not enjoy? How do we make it better for everybody coming, really?
And it's
the aim of it.
Yeah, and it kind of becomes like a win-win situation, doesn't it? Because, we by removing the car park, it helps us make a better step towards our sustainability. So you're kicking out the clean air of Portsmouth, and then we get more land for customers. So like the site becomes bigger, so it's more enjoyable, and has everyone has a bit more room to play around with. So yeah, it was kind of a bit of a win-win situation.
Yeah, definitely. I'm never sure how change is going to be received, but we've been lucky.
Yeah, everybody's really. I think everyone gets behind it as a, you know, everyone's quite proud.
Well,
of
I feel
it.
Like it's like the People's Festival.
It's a proper festival. Yeah. It's not, you know.
No, it's it's a big one.
It's one of the UK's biggest festivals. Yeah. It's amazing that it's on our doorstep.
Yeah, and we're all Pompey residents. And have been for a long time. So, you know, it's our hometown too.
Yeah.
So it's important to us that we do things right and rectify any problems if they do occur. And, you know, we work with the local community and the local businesses to make sure that everyone could benefit from all these people coming into the city.
Yeah, there's a lot of love that goes into it, and that's very clear.
Ah, thanks, Steph.
So, Tiff, you kind of alluded to the fact you've been there since very early on. How did you come into this role? What was your career path?
When I was younger, I studied theatre and choreography, and then I left university and didn't really pursue anything in that era, and just kind of end up in like office job after office job, and couldn't really settle, you know, just basic customer service stuff. And then I've always had like a bit of a part-time bar job, always on the side and working in the hospitality industry. And then I started to work for James Rules and his businesses, and I was managing the Little Johnny Russells. And then they obviously then took on and they started to do Victorious. And then so from there, I started to manage the bars at Victorious. So I stepped into like the festival world managing the bars. And then I was like always watching everything else, and I was in the office seeing everybody do everything. And I was like, oh, that looks fun. And I called all the other bits and bobs, like the logistics of it and planning and ordering and booking. And I think I was just made myself indispensable. I was like, I'll help with that. I'll help with this. I'll cut those stickers out. I'll stay after work and do that. So eventually I was like, oh, can you come down and help with this? Can you come down? And then slowly they were like, I was in the office just there. And then they said, well, do you want to come and work in the office full time? And I'm like, what, me? And then that's when I kind of took on, and I worked under Terry, and I was just kind of assistant. And I did helped. Well, after running the bars, I went and did the kids area. So like booking all the kids area stuff in, which is really fun because you get to pick things that you'd want to play with, but you're too old to do now. So you can, and then that's quite community based as well. So you get to know a lot of the local communities because they come and have a presence, and we're always looking for people to come along and present themselves and do activities in the kids area. So that was really fun. And alongside that, I was then also doing concessions. So I learned like the concessions part of it. So I'd book all the concessions in and site them on site, and I'd learn about like all the documentation they needed, like all the insurances, the EHO stuff. And then from there, I started to work on for the ops teams, then looking at the staging and making sure that that was all booked right, and fencing, and learning how to map it all out. So I really just kind of did get my teeth into every little aspect of it. And then eventually then, you know, I started to do more ops stuff. So learning about what you need on site to run it safely, like your medical teams, the police levels, your security, all your procedures you have to put into place to make sure everyone's kept safe on site. And then if there's any, you know, any issues that arise, what you need to do, your emergency plans, how you work alongside all your emergency services. It's like, so I used to think of it as like a giant pub. So, because I've come from running a pub and you have to do all of that there, but it's like on such a smaller scale. So I really think like my hospitality background really lended me into going into Victorious. It's like running a big pub that was actually a big town, but you have to think about all the same things. And then eventually, they all got really busy and needed more people to come on board, so Shola came on to the team, but in different aspects. But I'll let Shola tell you that.
Yeah, my background was weird. I'd born and bred in Pompey, like pretty much all of our team, and I left when I was 19. I went and did fashion production, worked there in the industry, fashion industry, for like 14 years, and then COVID hit. And it kind of dried up a little bit, the industry. It was really hard. Brexit made it quite harder for my job as well. But I was producing kind of big photo shoots and working in photography studios and working for some really good high street brands. And again, like similar to Tiff, I think you take all those skill sets and actually they're so transferable into something like a festival where you need to be working kind of all hours and really get your teeth into kind of like everything on set or on site. And so when COVID dried up, I we're stuck in London with kind of barely any work, and a friend of ours who also works at the festival, who's on concessions now, who kind of, you know, learnt under Tiff, she was going on maternity leave, and she just asked me if I wanted to come and help her on some of the concession stuff with her kind of assistant, who's now kind of working her way up through concessions as well. And so I just jumped on and just helped where I could, because I kind of always said to her, man, I would love to get involved in Victorious. This is a great thing for the city, and, like, you know, anything I can get, let me know. Like, I'd love to come and join you guys. So I did that first year back after COVID, because that was a bit of a tight one for you guys, wasn't it? You only had a couple of months to plan.
It was touch and go for such a long time, because we didn't know if the event was going to happen. So we had to have, like, a skeleton ready to go. And then if it was, like, yes, it was, like, right, green light, book everything, go, go. I think we pulled it together in about 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't risk booking everything and losing it, and then or it being cancelled. So it was very much a skeleton idea of what we're going to do, and then go.
I mean, you all looked so gracious doing it. I wouldn't have even thought you were any oaks out, because I was kind of, you know.
I think we were also, everyone was so happy to do an event.
Yeah,
everyone was
everyone worked really hard
to put it on, and it was one of the hardest things that we've done, because there's so many parameters that we had to follow that were, like, new, and also we weren't sure if everyone was doing the right thing. You know, should we have an event? Shouldn't we have an event?
Yeah, benefit. I guess there's the moral question.
Yeah, the benefits of it in some way, but then there was, well, what if it was a bad idea in the other way? But, you know, someone had to do it, so
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
glad we did.
Like, yeah. yeah, it was great. Like, I loved it. I think it was that kind of, like, I think we all do kind of thrive in that environment where, when the pressure's on, we kind of all just step up, and I really like those kind of, like, scenarios. So it was great, and, like, did the first year, and then I moved back to Portsmouth, and I kind of got into events work elsewhere, so I was kind of freelancing in the events world in general. I came back for a second year on concessions again, and helped those guys with that, and then kind of always wanted to get in with you guys, but there was, like, never with Victorious, there was never really an opening for me. Concessions was kind of like, they had their team, and you had your team on ops, and I was kind of like, I want to get in. How do I get in? And then about 3 years
ago.
3 years, this is my third year now. My third year full time. And but so about 3 years ago, kind
had
of,
an opening,
yeah.
didn't we? I, like, where operations is such a big, broad, like, spectrum of things, I needed somebody to, like, come and help manage on the traffic side of things. And it's, traffic takes up a lot of time. I'm sure everybody knows in Portsmouth traffic is a daily grind.
So
spoke to Shola about it to see if she would like to take it on full time and really dedicate herself to that role, to make sure that we had given it a full person and not just me casting my eyes over it, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think because being from Portsmouth, I kind of understand.
Yeah. We'd had traffic managers in the past, and they'd never been from Portsmouth. I just don't think they understood the gravitas of how important it is to get the traffic right in this city, because it can ruin. It can ruin.
It's an island with three exits. So it's not.
I guess you never really thought you'd be coming to a world and managing traffic.
No, I don't. And it's funny because I think people say to me, like, you worked in the fashion industry and now you're in traffic management, and I'm like, this is probably the happiest I've ever been in any of my jobs. So I do think that, like, it doesn't necessarily matter, like, what you've done before, if you can transfer skills into, like, any area. It's benefited me in so many ways.
I guess that's it, really. It's like, you know, your analogy was a big pub, but it's almost like a small town.
You're the
civil engineers and whatever else that goes on.
I think as well, like, going back to what Tiff said about the community, and I think that's why, you know, Portsmouth essentially is at the heart of what we do, because it's not just, well, I only care about the roads around the festival. I care about the roads further down the line, towards the end of the city. That, how's it going to affect the Eastern Road? It's the knock-on effect that we have, and that ripple effect throughout everywhere.
We
and if we
fully
can,
aware of it,
we are fully aware. Yeah,
and we understand that it can affect everything. So it's, let's make sure there's minimal
impact
but maximum,
enjoyment.
Yeah,
from everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, there's always been that community spirit with you guys, and we're Shaping Portsmouth, and us and Portsmouth Creates and Portsmouth City Council and Pride have all kindly been invited back to take part in the City Alliance this year, which is really brings together our organisations like-minded people to make efforts towards community projects, social value projects throughout the city, and it's a really good place for like-minded organisations to come together, network, have a bit of a laugh together, and also get some projects done out of it. I mean, I know Pride, we had UK Pride in Portsmouth this year, and they got so much out of it.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was great.
From, you know, a lot of that was born out of contacts they'd made at Victorious.
We love working with the Pride guys, and it's such a great event. And this year they did such a wonderful job. It was really, and it's really nice to be able to support them, like, throughout the year as well. You know, we emailing, and then also just, you know, the lads on site, and they're building it. It's nice to be part of it as well.
Yeah. Oh, and the Hive as well. The Hive are meeting with us again this year. So yeah, we're looking forward to it, and we can't thank you guys enough, really, for involving us in all that. So you were talking about the post COVID challenges there, but also the whole site is very, very close to the new seafront defences, which must have been playing havoc with some of your plans over the last few years.
Yes, not havoc. they've been challenging, as in we had to rethink some things.
Yeah.
But we get on really well with the guys over at the sea defences, and we're in communications all the time. So we'll meet up for the year, we'll find out what they're doing, how it'll affect our site, and then how we can change to make sure that we still happen, and obviously that they continue to work. Because it is, I mean, I don't know if you've been down, what they've done already is pretty spectacular.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's just raised the bar.
100%. You know, you think, I don't know about you, but I've like sat on the other side of the castle in the sun, just gone, oh, I could literally, not that you wouldn't want to be anywhere else, but you know, and it gives you that holiday vibe.
So. Yeah. But you know, I always think, you know, with the big stone defences they got there, like, am I in like northern Portugal or something like that?
And the colour of it. Yeah. So that's, but yeah. When they take away some of the land, we have to then really think about what we're going to do to make sure that it doesn't affect us for capacity-wise and stage-wise, or where we're going to reprogram stuff, where we're going to put things in, take things away so people don't miss it, but obviously these things will come back eventually, and we just have to work with them to make sure that it's not damaging to either of us. But really, it's been...
The working relationship is easy, isn't it? It's trying to do a site where essentially like one side of a festival is just against especially what you're saying, like, you know, with entrances and exits and making sure emergency exits aren't compromised and things like that. I think that's the only challenging part, isn't it?
Yeah.
You need to make sure that
it's quite
there's
fun,
access
like having
still.
The reshaker.
Yeah.
Like, because I have to really use my brain again. Because obviously you could just do the same thing over and over and over again. But then there's like, right, okay, that's moved. So I can't put that there anymore. So I need to move this over here. It's like moving a new puzzle around to make sure it all fits in. Because you've got the pieces.
Yeah.
You know what everything is.
It's
you know,
like a Tetris.
You know,
isn't it?
You know how big your tents are going to be. But now the landscape has changed. So like, where do these now fit? So that the flow works for people, so there's enough toilets still, so you haven't got to walk too far to that bar
impacts deliveries and all kinds of things like that.
Actually on that entrance, and make sure that you've still got all your blue routes in, so you've still got your emergency accesses in. But, and it's obviously this changes from one field to the next, so now we've got the bandstand back. I'm like, oh, that can all just happen as usual, but now this part has to change. But it's quite like, it's fun in that, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like, that challenge part of it is fun, isn't it? Yeah.
But we don't think it's seen as a negative thing at all. Like, we think the impact is for the city when they're finished will be brilliant.
Yeah.
So it's a labour of love more than anything, working on it and making sure that it all goes. And then I get to redesign it all
again
when
it's
finished.
Open,
so if we see anything that's not worked, we'll go, ooh, let's put this here instead this year, or that there.
It's a real positive spin on it, that it's a exciting challenge. And
definitely. And like I said, working with them has been easy, and it's really important that we do it for the city, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great as well, because, like, you know, they give timescales, and they are pretty much, like,
they're on it. Especially
if
they think
that's...
A lot of the work is tidal.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have to work with the sea
and the
weather.
Yeah.
And we know what that's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anybody that has to work alongside the ocean and the wind,
But yeah, it's lovely seeing it all reopen. Yeah. Like the bits that have reopened. It's really lovely. And then we get to enjoy those areas again, like you said, with the castle.
Yeah, and eventually it'll be incorporated in.
Yeah, I think it's a massive insight into the variety of stuff you have to deal with and the different careers and whatnot that you've...
I think people
are available in this industry.
I think people just think sometimes, oh, it's a festival, how much work can go into it, and
there's so many different jobs as well that lend their hand and you don't realise. But like, you know, traffic management, there's a whole traffic management team, there's traffic management companies that you work with. I mean, even like, you, if you want to be an accountant, you can be an accountant for a festival.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different areas.
Yeah. And we're all really, I mean, I'm not, my maths isn't great, I'm not going to do the accountancy side anytime soon, but we're also like hands-on, I think, like within our team, like we're not afraid, like, you know, if something needs doing, someone will do it. We are quite, you know,
definitely teamwork.
Yeah, it is just teamwork with us. We, you know, if someone needs help, we're all gonna be there. So yeah,
is that called swarming in technical terms? I think that's
is it
something like
we're
that.
We're bees. We're little worker bees.
In corporate terms, a swarming technique. I'm pretty
swarming
sure that's
technique.
What it's called.
I have to look into that. Guys, let's swarm.
Yeah.
So, few weeks out at time of recording. What's going on this year? How's it going?
It's good. So a few weeks out, we're literally putting the stages up as we speak, which is exciting. We've got some real big acts this year, which is really exciting. You know, Kings of Leon, big American acts coming in, Queens of the Stone Age. So we're really looking forward to them. And then also, it's not just the big acts that are like exciting and coming this year.
Yeah,
is it?
I mean, we've done this really, I mean, I think it's the third year in a row now, the great initiative we've got called Road to Victorious. It's been fantastic, I think, the kind of, you know, opportunity it's given. Our winner this year, Mackenzie, she's just finished her second weekend of the kind of festival circuit that is part of the package. Yeah.
Why Not in Kendall.
Yeah, she does Why Not in Kendall, truck and tram lines, and the big kind of the big final will be her main stage Victorious set. So
So this is an act that you showcase.
Yeah.
Act that you showcase.
It's a kind of public vote from local bands within Portsmouth. It went through social media, so they did a lot of sharing. Kind of it went to public vote, and then we did a night at the Wedgwood Rooms where they all performed and family and friends all came, and then we announced the winner. So we kind of, you know, there was voting on the night. You had like ballot box. It was that kind of last push for them to do their voting. But along with their so kind of like social push and our voting system, and
then the prize is Victorious takes the band or the act on tour. So we set them up with a tour bus, we set them up with roadies,
like
photography,
sound.
And then they get to tour to five other festivals across the country. So they'll do truck and tram lines one weekend and in the tour bus, which is very swish.
It's very nice.
I'd definitely go on that. and then they come back, recharge, and then last weekend gone, they're up at Why Not in Kendall up north, and then next week, well, and then they come back down, and then they finish at Victoria. So it gives them like a bit of an understanding, like in the industry, what it's like to tour, and the experience of that. And obviously they get to meet lots of other bands, like either similar to them or higher up, like the bill, which is also really exciting. So it's like in its third year, and it's something we're really proud of. Like,
it's just another example of how it's a local festival that really, really cares about the local area and the people in it. So
it's really nice to see as well, especially because like the two previous women, and so last year's was Harvey, Jay Johnson, and then it's Crystal Tries before.
Yeah.
And they've had sellout tours now. We always say, right, when you're massive, you've got to come back and headline. When you're too big for us, you've got to come back and play a set for us.
And I think it's really lovely, like Mackenzie, the winner this year, she's, you know, our first female.
Yeah.
Hopefully
not the last. Definitely not.
She's it's that kind of pop alternative style, which is, I think, really nice and different in the kind of current sound of music.
Yeah.
For, these new youngsters coming through. So, yeah.
We think she had a good time.
Yeah, she sounded. She looked like she had a great time.
A proper launch pad for a career.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
So we're really looking forward to that. And really looking forward to the comedy this year, so that'd be really good. Yeah. Moved on to main stage, so that'd be exciting.
I had a great time in the comedy.
I know, we really enjoy having the comedy.
Yeah,
there.
Comedy is fantastic.
So I think that'd be really interesting to see on the big stage, big screens and everything, so more people can watch, because it was so popular last year.
It was packed.
Yeah. And so we realised that, you know, this is something that everyone wants to get involved in. So that's really looking forward to that. And also, like, obviously with the site changes, we've got like the new premium areas, the Hideaway and the Gardens. So really interested to see how that looks in its new form, like new decorations. So yes, and like with the site changes for the Sea Defences and new stuff, we're really looking forward to seeing how it comes together on site, because you can plan, but sometimes you just don't know how it's going to look. So we're looking forward to seeing how it looks on the ground, you know, which would be nice.
Yeah.
And see how the festival goers enjoy it.
Yeah.
So that would be a nice one. And then obviously all the lovely food, just general festival stuff really, and the weather, obviously, fingers crossed, and if it's a beautiful day, I'll eat about 3 dinners.
Yeah.
from all the different food stalls, so that'd be good.
Any highlights for you that coming up, or highlights over the years? Who are you most looking forward to this year, if you get to see them?
Are you too busy?
We could often do a little drive by, don't you? Like walk by and look at something, because you know we're just constantly lapping. On a daily day for us at the festival, it's constantly lapping the areas and just making sure everything's working okay. Like, there's no issues here, everybody's having a nice time, so you don't really stand and stay in any one place too long. But for me, I am a massive Palace fan, so I'm really looking forward to seeing Palace, or at least one or two songs. And also, I really like Last Dinner Party.
Right.
So, luckily, I did go to Truck myself, though, last weekend, because I thought I need to see them before I'm at work, because I won't get to see them. But,
yeah.
I think, obviously, Fatboy was a huge highlight for us last year, and then with the Virgin boat going past with Pompey written on it, that was quite a special moment actually. That was really cool. Yeah.
I think my second year, Sam Fender was probably a massive highlight for me that year.
I thought that was
fantastic.
That was incredible.
I think one of the only times I think I've ever seen a crowd go that big and like gave me goosebumps on the hairs of my arms stood up. That was amazing.
Yeah, there's something about him, isn't there?
It was just a fantastic
quite personable
set.
Isn't it?
But I think that was like different job roles this year. My job role means I don't get to go out and see a lot, but if I could, I would have loved to see Block Party. That would have been my big one. But I love the idea of Masioki for everyone this year.
Yeah.
I think Masioki is going to be such a great highlight every day.
So it's like mass karaoke.
I figured from the name that's what we were talking about.
Just double check.
How's this going to work?
So they put it up on the screens, and they're this band is like, they're all kitted out in kind of glam rock.
Yeah.
And then it'll be on the Seaside stage, and it's just really fun. Like, it's a big sing along. So, I mean, we went to see them for Christmas. And we were like, wow.
This is great.
It was just top tier fun. And just everyone.
Good energy and good vibes. Everyone was really enjoying it.
That would be really good.
I think that sums up Victoria's top tier fun. Good.
I'll take that. Steph. Top tier fun. Steph, what's your favourite Victoria's moment?
Probably going back a bit, but I think 2016 maybe the Manic Street Preachers played. I've always been a massive, massive fan of theirs, and to see them here.
They were on the Common, weren't they?
They were. Yeah. It might have been the first year of the Common.
Yeah, big stage.
So,
big stage.
Yeah, so that would probably be my highlight, but it's always a good time, you know. So, talking of this year's festival, are there still tickets left?
There are indeed. Yes, you can still buy tickets for this year. Day and weekend tickets are still available, I believe. So, if the weather is looking great, still, so yeah, come on down. We are still online. Head to Victoria's website, get yourself those sweet, sweet tickets.
And we've got the app now. So
yes, and the app.
So you download the app and you can plan what you're going to do on the day. So you can see who's on, who's when, what you want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The app's really great. It's got a really good map that's gone live, I think, today, just at the time of recording, which has got you can see around the site of where everything kind of will be and little kind of important points. So yeah, it's a good one to download. I think it's GPS, so it will work, I think, in offline mode and in airplane mode or something. So yeah, if you're if you don't know where you are and you need to tell your friends, it's a good app to have because you're, yeah, obviously we're a big site, so.
Yeah.
There we go, yeah, guys.
Very handy.
Get your tickets and your app for top tier fun.
Yeah.
So we always finish off these podcasts by asking our guests what their favourite place in Portsmouth is, or favourite thing to do, or recommendation for Portsmouth.
So I'm an absolute sucker for a sunrise.
Yeah.
So my favourite thing to do is to get up early and go for a sunrise walk. And I would either do this along Eastleigh Beach or Hillsea Lido. Speaking of new sea defences. So yeah, I love going along, just walking, and then they walk past up to Fox's Forest or from Eastleigh up to Southsea just in the morning. It's so peaceful.
It's great up there, and the Lido, yeah, isn't it? That whole walk.
It's just so nice now, and then, like, with the sea and just the sun, it's just peaceful. And then it's, you just forget that you are in a city sometimes.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, this is just bliss. Yeah, like give myself a little hour before the day begins. Yeah, so that's what I like to do in Portsmouth.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm like the night owl version of you because I'm a sucker for a sunset. So, but pretty much the same route, like Eastleigh, I think, from, like, you know, that the toilets down towards the pier is just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, say, like, you forget sometimes it's on our doorstep, isn't it?
We're
so lucky.
So lucky.
And then I'd probably, now one of my favourite things has been, is to just take a picnic blanket and sit on those new sea defence steps at the castle.
They are great, aren't they? We've already plugged these.
It's the back support for me. Sit on the big step.
You can stretch your legs out. You've got back support. Yeah. But it's just the view, I think, you know, just overlooking the island. It's really, really beautiful.
On a calm day today, the sea is flat as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Like you said, we're so lucky to have that as part of the city, and to be like a city and then have the beach and the coast there. Just, it's perfectly located.
Can't
fault it really.
And Eastleigh as well. The all the like flora they've let grow.
Like, you know, that bit of nature still.
It's just lovely down there.
Yeah. I think you know, when you're from Portsmouth and you're coastal, you'll always be coastal, won't you? You love it. But I think our beach kind of just beats a few other beaches, I think, because it's our beach. I think it's still Portsmouth's beach.
Yeah,
it's really beautiful and it's nature, and yeah, it's not, you know, ruined by lots of tourist attractions.
Other people should definitely come to
but
see,
come but just, you know, leave it as you found it.
Shaping Portsmouth does promote Portsmouth to
see. We want people to come as well. Visit Portsmouth. You know, visit Portsmouth.
It's not in the hours.
But visit it in its natural state.
Not between the hours of 5 and 7 a.m. when we're out walking.
That's great, guys. Thank you ever so much
for
coming and talking to us.
Thank you, Steph.
And I will definitely be at the festival in a few weeks. So looking
forward
to it.
Yeah.
See you there.
See you there.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth. Working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space and Portsmouth Community Lottery.